Christmas, as we've been focusing on the coming of the newborn king, we've been worshiping his majesty in a manger. This is the fourth message in a series, and in week one, we explored what the Bible says about that Jesus was fully divine. Everything that makes God God was present in Jesus. It's a hard concept for us to understand, but it's clearly what the Bible teaches. In week two, we learned not only was Jesus fully divine, he was also fully human. He had a human body. He got thirsty, and he got hungry, and he got tired. And we read in ABF this morning, he grieved when friends were lost. Somehow, he was fully divine and fully human. And then we saw last week that he was miraculously born. He was born to a virgin when the Holy Spirit came upon Mary. And today we want to wrap up our concluding message, which is going to be about Jesus being the Savior of the world. This brings us back to last week's scripture from Matthew chapter 1, verses 20 and 21. This is when the angel is speaking to Joseph, saying, relax, what Mary said is true. He said, don't be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus. And here it comes. For he will save his people from their sins. That's why he came, to save us from our sins. I'd like to invite you to open your Bibles with me today to the Gospel of Luke, chapter 2. If you'd like to use a chair Bible, you'll find this on page 821. We're going to begin reading in verses 1 to 7, but we will continue reading, so I encourage you to leave your Bibles open there as we read Luke's account of how this all came to be. Luke chapter 2, starting in verse 1. At that time, the Roman Emperor Augustus decreed that a census should be taken throughout the Roman Empire. This was the first census taken when Quirinius was governor of Syria. All returned to their own ancestral towns to register for the census. I just got to pause there and say this is amazing. Mary and Joseph were living in Nazareth, and according to the prophecy, the Messiah was going to be born where? In Bethlehem. So Galilee's in the far north, Bethlehem is down in the south near Jerusalem, and Mary is very pregnant, and God had to get them down there. How does he do it? He used the Roman emperor. Caesar just wanted to take a census. He didn't have any idea probably that God was using him, but Caesar became the instrument of God's purpose in being able to get Mary and Joseph to Bethlehem. Pick it up in verse 4. And because Joseph was a descendant of King David, he had to go to Bethlehem in Judea, David's ancient home. He traveled there from the village of Nazareth in Galilee. He took with him Mary, his fiancée, who was now obviously pregnant. And while they were there, the time came for her baby to be born. She gave birth to her first child, a son, and wrapped him snugly in strips of cloth and laid him in a manger, because there was no lodging available for them. So this is where we oftentimes in movies that tell the tale have this image of Joseph walking beside a donkey carrying Mary. Bible doesn't tell us she rode on a donkey, but we think it would have been hard for a woman in her condition to do all the walking. But they traveled all the way from Nazareth in the north to Bethlehem in the south, but Joseph forgot to make reservations at the Holiday Inn Express. And so when they got to Bethlehem, there was no room for them to stay. And Jesus was actually born in the humblest of circumstances, where they kept animals. And he was laid in a manger, a feeding trough for the animals. Can you imagine the Messiah, fully divine, yet fully human, miraculously conceived and born, and his mother has to lay him in a manger? It gets better. Let's pick it up in verse 8. That night there were shepherds staying in the fields nearby, guarding their flocks of sheep. Suddenly an angel of the Lord appeared among them, and the radiance of the Lord's glory surrounded them. They were terrified, but the angel reassured them. "Don't be afraid," he said. "I bring you good news that will bring great joy to all people. The Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord, has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. And you will recognize him by this sign. You will find a baby wrapped snugly in strips of cloth lying in a manger." Suddenly, the angel was joined by a vast host of others, the armies of heaven, praising God and saying, "Glory to God in highest heaven, and peace on earth to those with whom God is pleased." When the angels returned to heaven, the shepherds said to each other, "Let's go to Bethlehem. Let's see this thing that has happened, which the Lord has told us about." And they hurried to the village and found Mary and Joseph, and there was the baby lying in the manger. What a strange part to the story of Jesus coming. Luke records that an angel came and spoke to shepherds. Why shepherds? What was the big deal about that? Wouldn't it be better to announce the coming of the king in the capital city in Jerusalem, in the palace? Later, that's where the wise men went looking for the newborn king of the Jews, but he wasn't to be found there in the luxury of the palace in the capital city. He was found lying in a manger. And who was the announcement given to? Shepherds. Now, because we think about, you know, David being a shepherd and we hear stories like this, we kind of think being a shepherd was probably a great job. But do you know in the Holy Land there, do you know nobody aspired to be a shepherd? It was kind of what you did if you couldn't do anything else. In fact, you might remember the account in Samuel's writings when he went to the home of Jesse looking to anoint a new king. And Jesse was all excited. One of his boys was going to be king. And he brings out the oldest, who was the biggest and the strongest. And Samuel said, "Nope, it's not him." He brings out the second born. "Nope, it's not him." And he keeps parading his sons that he's so proud of before Samuel. And the prophet says, "No, God doesn't want any of these. Do you have any other sons?" "Well, there's David." "Well, where's he?" "Well, you know, he's the youngest. None of my other boys want to watch the sheep." So they sent the little brother out there to do it. How many of you grew up in a family where you got the chores that nobody else wanted to do? You know, and that's kind of how it was with David being a shepherd. Now, being a shepherd could be a dangerous job. You had to guard the sheep from predators. But for the most part, that wasn't a job that people pursued. So here are these men who got stuck shepherding sheep. And lo and behold, an angel of the Lord comes with a message from God to these men standing out in the field. And the shepherds heard this amazing message that the Savior, yes, the Messiah, the Lord has been born today in Bethlehem, the city of David. Wow, what incredible news. But the title the angel gave Jesus was Savior. He came to save. I don't know what it must have looked like that night. The shepherds out in their fields and this angelic being coming and sharing the news with them. And then to have the whole host of angels come and give this refrain about glory to God in the highest, peace on earth and goodwill towards men. And the shepherds had to go and look for this child. They were given a sign that they would find him lying in a feeding trough. And they went and they looked and they found the newborn Savior and they worshiped him. Now, unlike the wise men who came later, they didn't have any expensive gifts. They weren't expecting to see a king, but they came and they gave their worship. What an amazing picture. I want to remind you that God didn't send his son Jesus to put us in our place. He sent his son to lift us up out of that place. One of the most well-known Bible verses of all time comes from John 3:16. Here's how it reads in the New Living Translation. "For God loved the world so much that he gave his one and only Son so that everyone who believes in him will not perish but have eternal life. Most of us know that in one translation or another, but don't stop reading there. Look at verse 17. God sent his Son into the world not to condemn the world, but to save the world through him. And many people have this picture of this angry God that's looking down and telling people what they can't do. And that's not the picture the Bible gives of God at all. We have made a mess of our lives. The Bible says we've all sinned. We've all fallen short of the glory of God. We all experience trials and problems in this life. And God didn't send Jesus to put us in our place. He sent his Son to lift us up out of that place and to save us from our sins. One of the most amazing passages that talks about this, although it's never read at Christmas time because it seems unrelated to the Christmas story, comes from the Apostle Paul, and it's in Romans chapter 3. Now, if you're a parent, you may have gone through this experience where you tell your kids something you want them to do, and they always do it, right? Especially the first time. No, not really. So oftentimes we have to tell them again. And sometimes we have to tell them again because sometimes we have thick heads and we don't get it. We don't listen. And I kind of think that's what Paul was writing here to the church in Rome. And it's been recorded and saved and preserved for us today so that we can get it too. But I want you to look at what Paul wrote to the church. But now God has shown us a way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law as was promised in the writings of Moses and the other prophets long ago. See, that's how most people were living. Most people were living according to the Old Testament law. I got to do this, and 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 if I mess up, then I got to make a sacrifice, and then another sacrifice. And it was a really hard job to be right with God. But Paul says, now God's shown us a different way to be made right with him without keeping the requirements of the law. Look what he says. We are made right with God by placing our faith in Jesus. And this is true for everyone who believes, no matter who we are. For everyone has sinned, and we all fall short of God's glorious standard. Yet God, with undeserved kindness, declares us righteous. He did this through Christ Jesus when he freed us from the penalty of our sins. For God presented Jesus as the sacrifice for our sins. People are made right with God when they believe that Jesus sacrificed his life, shedding his blood. The sacrifice shows that God was fair when he held back and did not punish those who sinned in times past, for he was looking ahead and including them in what he would do in this present time. God did this to demonstrate his righteousness, for he himself is fair and just. And he declares sinners to be right in his sight when they believe in Jesus. Isn't that so much easier than having to obey all the laws in the Old Testament? All I've got to do is put my faith and my trust in Jesus and follow him. And when I give him my heart and I follow him in that way, he saves me. That's why he came. Not to put us in our place, but to lift us up out of the place by saving us. Paul wrote to young Timothy in his second letter, chapter 2, verses 3 to 6. He says, this is good and pleases God our Savior, who wants everyone to be saved and to understand the truth. For there is only one God and one mediator who can reconcile God with humanity, the man Christ Jesus. He gave his life to purchase freedom for everyone. And this is why we've put this symbol here at the front of the church during this series. Jesus came and was laid in a manger, but he did not stay there. He grew to become a man, and he taught us incredible things about the kingdom of God. And scripture tells us the people were amazed because he taught with authority, not like the people that talked at the temple in the synagogue. But Jesus didn't come just to be a baby in a manger. He didn't come to be just a good teacher. He demonstrated that he was from God by the miracles he performed, the people that he healed, the demons he cast out, his miraculous power over nature. But he didn't come just to show all of that power. Jesus came to be the Savior of the world. He came to save everyone who would believe in him, everyone who would put their trust and their faith in him, everyone who would choose to follow his ways instead of the law, because self-righteousness will never get you to heaven. Only trusting in Jesus as your Lord and Savior gets you to heaven. God sent his Son Jesus to be the Savior of the world. And while the divine Son of God would be pure enough to die for us, the problem is gods don't die. Then they're not gods. While all humans die, no man could ever be the sinless sacrifice that would pay for our sins. And because Jesus had to be both divine and human, he was miraculously born. What difference does this make for us today? God sent a Savior who would be approachable. If Jesus was born in the luxury of the palace, people couldn't get to him. There'd be the palace guards keeping everybody out, keeping the baby safe. But Jesus was born in the humblest of circumstances, so even shepherds could come and worship him. The message was given to those shepherds on that hillside, and they responded to what the angel said, and they went to seek out the baby who was prophesied to be the Messiah and the Savior. Max Lucado, in his book, God Came Near, writes this: "The tongue that called forth the dead was a human one. The hand that touched the leper had dirt under his nails. The feet upon which the woman wept were calloused and dirty. And his tears, oh, don't miss his tears, they came from a heart as broken as yours or mine have ever been." So people came to him. They came at night, they touched him as he walked down the street, and they followed him around the sea. They invited him into their homes, and they placed their children at his feet. There were those that mocked him, who were envious of him, who misunderstood him, and there were those who revered him. But there was not one person who considered him too holy, too divine, or too celestial to touch. There was not one person who was reluctant to approach him for fear of being rejected. Remember that when you see the nativity scene with a helpless infant, drawing shepherd and wise man, manger beast and celestial angel, all in an unthreatening atmosphere that was to mark his entire life, even when that life was eventually slain on a desolate hill in Judea. Remember, for man seems always to build barriers between himself and God, but Jesus builds bridges. And that bridge was built later in his life on that old rugged cross. We tend to focus in the Christmas story on the babe lying in the manger, but the Christmas story isn't really about the manger. The Christmas story, it's all about the cross.
From afar, it's about the cross. should be born once so that we could be born again. It's about the stone that was rolled away so that you and I could have real life someday. It's about the
It's about the cross. That's why he came. And you know, that wasn't lost on those shepherds. Let's finish up our reading in verses 17 to 20. After seeing him, the shepherds told everyone what had happened and what the angel had said to them about this child. All who heard the shepherd's story were astonished. But Mary kept all these things in her heart and thought about them. The shepherds went back to their flocks, glorifying and praising God for all they'd heard and seen. It was just as the angel had told them. Did you see verse 17? After seeing him, the shepherds did what? They told everybody about what had happened. And my challenge for you today is this, you know, maybe today, maybe tomorrow, maybe different times during this week, you're going to be gathered with family and friends who might not know or might not believe in Jesus. And I want to challenge you this Christmas season. Who do you need to tell about Jesus, the Savior of the world? Who do you know that needs to understand he was fully divine? And he was fully human. And he was miraculously born to save all who will believe in him. Would you pray with me? Lord God, as we celebrate the first coming of your Son, we marvel at what the Bible tells us, that he was fully divine, he was fully human, and he was miraculously born to be the Savior of the world. We thank you that you didn't send him to put us in our place. We thank you that you sent him to lift us up out of this life that we struggle with so that we could have hope and we could have peace and we could have life. And Lord, we may not have had the angelic message that those shepherds did, but thank you for recording this account in the Gospel of Luke so that we could know, so that we could also hear, and so that we could also believe. Father, help us to be like the shepherds who were so excited about this wonderful news that the Savior had come that we are compelled to share this news with others. Because one day he's coming back. He paid for our sins on the cross and he invites all to believe in him, but he gives us free will, the ability to choose to follow him or not. But when he comes back, time is up. So help us, Lord, to be willing to share this news with those who do not yet know and do not yet believe so that they can come to know Jesus as the Savior of the world and worship with us his majesty in a manger. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Would you stand and let's sing our sermon response song?
See?